which is a change, a huge change from how people normally react.
They underreact.
Well, I think, I mean, I think if you work in a field where you might get in contact with it, it's good to be vigilant. But
yeah, I mean, like a field for a second, like of grass.
If you work in fields,
I was like, what does working outdoors have to do with it?
If you work in fields, period.
You're a farmer.
Yeah, I'm putting up like a, you know, 5-meter bubble around myself at school.
I bet.
Anyone who's Asian.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Just with the
like,
Asian kids.
Anyone who looks remotely Asian.
Yeah. Because it's an Asian virus. They got it from eating all their street meats.
Oh, street meats.
Yes, that's
you could just go with rice. I feel like rice would have been a...
Well, it's supposedly it did come from the meat markets.
Really?
Yeah,
yeah.
But I also think that's sensationalized.
I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Obviously,
having been to China, their health standards are markedly lower, but like it works for them. You know what I mean?
I still don't think my headphones are working. I think it's my headphones. Can you guys hear shit?
Yeah, I could.
Right.
Give me a check on everybody.
1, 2, 3. You 1, 2, 3. I think my headphones are just fucked. All right. Oh well, these are like 20-year-old headphones. So
really? That's a shame.
Well, I mean, they're bound to go someday.
Yeah. Costs are the best, man.
No, obviously, like everything else, this is a government experiment gone wrong. I think the signs are pretty clear.
It's population control.
Hey, thank you, Brandon. I thought I was going to have to get there.
No.
But you're
No. I've been reading the papers. I understand.
The papers? My closest
rags.
Connection to my most recent connection to politics is I went to... I was going to say a specific place, but a bagel store we frequented in the past.
Okay.
And they had newspapers on the counter, and like Joe Biden was on the cover of one, and I took like a second glance at it. I didn't even read it. I was just like, Joe Biden. Oh, Joe Biden.
Oh, Joe Biden.
He's on the, he's
you
on
said,
the thing.
You said the word of the day, Dave.
Oh, no, here we go.
Joe
what
Biden.
Have you done?
Joe Biden.
Word of the day.
What did Joe Biden do?
What did Joe Biden do? Well, I have a little game that I've prepared for us later about Joe Biden. But the first thing, well, Joe Biden did, for those of you listening who have not picked up a newspaper like Dave.
Yeah, well, I looked at a newspaper. I didn't even pick it up.
Win big on Super
it was
Tuesday.
He won big on Super Tuesday?
On Super Tuesday.
Wasn't it not that big?
It was not that. It was
overblown. It didn't like sweep, but yeah.
So
it's the Southern strategy.
The narrative
off.
Is.
He won North Carolina, South Carolina,
he
Virginia.
He won the South.
Yeah, he won the South.
He won the South.
Interesting.
So Joe Biden is now on fire. Single black person in the world.
Black people love
loves
Joe Biden.
Everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Of them.
I've heard that.
Every black person
I know
does.
Three black people and they all love Joe Biden.
It doesn't matter age. I mean, it would be weird to actually break it down by age and show that, you know, the majority of black people over 45 love Joe Biden and explain why they maybe skew more conservative and Joe Biden appeals to a more conservative base because he's kind of a Republican. And then talk about
Jay,
how...
Jay, you're getting ahead of yourself.
Sorry. The media's pissing me off. And then maybe talk about how under 45 was won by Bernie Sanders, a very progressive candidate, how Bernie Sanders won the Latino vote, how Bernie Sanders won the youth vote, how Biden won... That would be journalistic... malpractice. What we should say is that the nomination is over. Joe Biden has now been coronated.
Get ready for Obama 2.0.
And everybody should drop out. And Bernie Sanders is a communist.
Yes.
Well, that's all fair.
I feel like all fair.
I mean, listen, I didn't pay any attention to Super Tuesday, but from what I saw, Joe Biden won.
You saw Joe Biden on a paper. So.
By a relatively, what I thought looked like a thin margin. There were numbers on the front page. I was like, oh, it looks like 400 and something to 300 and something, which was like...
Yeah,
was
and
like,
they still haven't allocated all of California. Mm-hmm. So there's a good chance that by the end of the week, Bernie could be ahead depending on how California shapes out.
California's a big one.
It's 400 something, Bernie's up by 10 right now.
Do you get the whole state? Or do you get proportional votes?
It's proportional. So the only two to cross, this is what was going to save Bernie, is that the only two candidates to cross the 15% viability threshold were Bernie and Joe. So now it's just how much did Bernie run up the score? And so now what happens is instead of 440 or whatever, out divided by like four people by percent, only Joe and Bernie split those up, and it's by that percent. So it's a different ratio.
Aha,
so he will get proportionally more.
But still less than Joe if Joe scored more people.
It'll depend on how
districts.
Much... No, they already allocated the districts.
Oh, okay.
They're waiting for the statewide. Well, so he's already up by about 70.
Does Bernie Sanders, is there a chance that, like, when we count all the hanging chads, that this will flip around and Bernie will have the nomination, the vote?
Okay, well, that's where it gets tricky.
Because
we're talking about
I asked.
The nomination versus, we can get all the delegates you want on paper, but if we go to a broker convention, that means then it goes to superdelegates, which is
well, and that will go to
the
soups.
And that's where we're sitting, you know, as leftists, we're sitting and going, oh, the blood's in the water, the fucking corporate establishment is just ready to just cut him out at any excuse.
Obama made the phone call.
Yeah, right?
Wait, Obama made the phone? What does that mean?
Before
why is Obama making any phone calls? He's not president anymore. Stay off the phone, Obama.
Go back to making movies on Netflix.
After South Carolina.
Yeah, he made a movie on Netflix, documentary.
Good.
After South Carolina, where Biden, I would argue, did not overperform because he was originally projected to win by 50 points. He won by 20 points. Mm-hmm. They said, okay, it's time. And Obama called Buttigieg and, you know, didn't tell him to drop out, but the conversation that was reported was basically like, you got a lot of leverage right now. You know, you won't have a lot of leverage after Super Tuesday. So what do you want to do with Buttigieg drops out?
And endorses Biden.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Klobuchar drops out right afterwards.
Yep.
Hold on.
Within the same Biden. Day.
I don't know anything about Klobuchar, but...
Me neither.
Obama made a phone call and started asking people to drop out of the race.
Without saying drop out of the race, he made the call that said, like, the what was reported and what Buttigieg had.
Sounds like the Godfather.
Is that something that other like ex-presidents have done? Is that an occurrence?
I mean, I would imagine.
Is he still like the leader of the Democratic Party?
I think he's still seen as the leader of the Democratic Party.
Yeah,
that's so crazy.
He's certainly poster boy, yeah.
Yeah,
that's so
I don't know
crazy.
Is Pelosi the leader as the House leader?
I think so.
The leader of the Democratic
Party.
Yeah, because she is the highest leadership position.
And at this point, whoever wins the primary is going to be the leader of the Democratic Party going into the election.
Yes.
But, man, so Obama was like...
But was basically like...
throw some weight around.
Without saying drop out and endorse Biden, basically said, hey, you've got a lot of leverage right now, and, you know... After Super Tuesday, if you stay in the race.
What does you have a lot of leverage?
That means like you still have clout.
No. I know what it means.
Okay.
But what does it mean? Like it leverage means... is something you leverage for something.
Oh, a spot in the administration.
Yeah, he gets. Yeah.
Exactly.
Spot in the that's exactly what it means.
So you have a lot of leverage right now.
Basically
you
saying
could get something.
You can be
with
seen
that leverage.
As the savior of the Democratic Party by dropping out and consolidating the vote around Joe Biden.
Wow.
Or you can be a pariah for staying in, and will blame you and Klobuchar and anybody else for Bernie's nomination when he gets it. So that I feel like that was what was left unsaid, you know, in that whole leverage thing.
Yep.
So Buttigieg drops out and endorses Joe. Then Klobuchar drops out and endorses Biden. This is
neither of them should have been in the race to begin with. So
no, and that's fair.
I'm fine with both of those things, but. Sounds a little sketchy.
Oh, it's very sketchy.
Yeah.
You're telling me the Democratic Party's doing something sketchy?
I'm telling you, Dave.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it, Jay.
I'm telling you that they're doing something a little sketchy.
wow.
But then this is my...
For the first time.
I know.
It's so weird.
It's weird that this is happening.
our memory is so short.
They absolutely are.
Not like everybody who's not on MSNBC and CBS that I watch is like, 2016,
yeah.
2016, you tried it.
Yep.
You're doing it again. Like, we know.
Are you sure Hillary Clinton isn't involved somehow?
Oh, no, she stuck a knife in.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because this is like a right out of the playbook of how to lose an election.
She knifed him
and
on
she wrote that
morning.
Playbook.
This is deja fucking vu. Yeah. This is all happening.
They
all
called
over.
Hillary and they were like, hey, listen, Hill, how do you
how
lose
do you fuck this up?
An election?
Let's, because we're about to fuck this up.
How do you lose an unlosable election? Let's,
yeah.
Could you tutor us? And then they did this.
Could you teach us how to lose to a game show host with your horrible policies? And could you teach us how to let a fucking ridiculous, like, bigoted moron run to the left of you on issues? Could you we'd love to know how we could have Republicans outflank us on the left.
Yeah,
because that's a winning strategy. Letting them do that is a winning strategy.
Yeah, no, she was a winner.
Oh my god,
she could have been our first woman president.
She's a lizard person. She wasn't a woman.
Jay, you go jumping right into the conspiracy.
And Soros.
Well,
still an accomplishment. Be our first lizard president.
Soros still pays our checks.
shit.
Get our Soros bucks.
But this is what I wanted to get your take on.
Oh, okay. Well,
this is
wait. There's more.
This is my favorite. obviously, Pete Buttigieg is a corporate piece of shit, yeah. and he's a rat. Well, Amy Klobuchar was always good. She was a centrist. She's Biden. Like, you wouldn't expect her to endorse anybody else. Beto O'Rourke also was apparently called by Obama.
The Beto. Was he still in?
No.
No.
He dropped out a while ago.
And to endorse Joe Biden. And immediately, progressive Beto O'Rourke...
Oh, Beto O'Rourke is a fake human being.
So
no one rides a skateboard for real.
Yeah, hopped like, on a plane.
Unironically.
Well, Texas standing got on fucking, his car.
Standing on tech interior tables.
And went to go endorse Joe Biden. Now, you know his stance on guns. How he's gonna
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15.
What would you say to a ticket, and the Joe Biden ticket, where Beto O'Rourke has been promised to be the president's top, you know, gun control advisor?
I mean, I wouldn't like it, but I'm sure a lot of Democrats would.
Yes. I guess.
So are we talking about Beto O'Rourke as not like as vice president,
as a policy guy.
Oh, okay.
Like he's going to be writing.
He gets a check.
He's writing the policy for Joe on guns.
Right, sure he is. He's getting a check.
He's getting a check.
Well, yeah.
He's not writing anything. He's got aides for that. Yes. He's just giving speeches.
About how he's getting a
check. That's as important. We got to make sure everybody's getting a check.
Yes. I thought that was like, my take on that was like, well, way to lose any Democrats who fucking like their guns.
Yeah. Well, that's not the what they're playing to. They're playing to like,
no,
I don't know what they're playing.
Why are we playing to our base? We played to our base in 2016 and we lost.
I don't know what the strategy is
to play to the base.
I don't either.
That can't be it.
No, it's
yes,
it's
that's
100%. They're going for moderates, centrists, and liberals.
Dude, there's been like, no outreach to progressives. Well,
the progressives
since
Super Tuesday. Leftists are dead to them. Yeah,
they're so gaming.
Everyone's terminology is a little bit different. So when you're saying progressives and leftists
they're
versus what are they?
I would just say that they are more to the left than Democrats.
Or do you mean
than liberals? Sorry, than liberals.
I mean like you said, like they're ignoring progressives and. Leftists?
Leftists would be...
Oh, yeah, leftists is a bit farther. But
technically, I guess what the definition for leftists is people who are advocating, like, true socialism.
Yeah.
True socialism.
Falling more on that side of the spectrum.
Okay. Is a leftist.
All right.
Then progressives are more like Sock Dem, like where
yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
Like heavily, like...
You know, hardcore communists.
Yeah, hardcore communists.
Right. Okay, nice. Got it.
Propaganda's
you working. Know, climate advocacy, shit like that. Like, that's all.
Yeah.
And gotcha. Then you've got
progressive tax,
neolibs, which is basically the centrists.
So what is, what like, who are, in that conglomeration, who do you feel like they're playing to?
They're playing to the neolibs. Like, they're playing to the center, which is their base. The Democratic base is, generally speaking, neoliberal, just to the core. Like,
people to,
and
yeah.
what is a neoliberal? How would you differentiate that
from
me and our listeners?
Like more.
You mean Republicans with their masks on?
I mean, honestly, it kind of is. I don't want to say it because it makes it sound so like generic, but it kind of is like Republicans.
Adult Democrats.
Yeah.
I got it. I know what you're trying to say. Like, Democrats over the age of 35.
Democrats who make more than, you know.
Yeah,
right.
Basically, Democrats who got
Democrats who aren't in high school or broke. I got it. Yeah. I got it.
Democrats who don't like poor people, but they want to say they're a Democrat.
Right.
Democrats who would have voted for Donald Trump and be wearing a MAGA hat if he ran as
Democrats
a Democrat.
Who grew up
yes.
before the internet.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. Yeah. If Trump had run as Democrat, they would have voted for him.
That's
yeah.
That's your name.
Oh, that's a good explanation.
Because he's not the farthest right, you know.
Yeah. That is kind of.
Okay.
Yeah, basically.
That was a really good delineation. I feel like I have a much clearer.
And I think that's not being hit on in the media, too, because there is a delineation between. Like, the Democratic. The Republican
that's
Party
system. That's all, that, it
is super lockstep.
System.
And as we've discussed before, they're very good at getting in line behind one person,
mm-hmm.
As they've shown with Trump. The Democratic coalition is so much wider, and they're shrinking their tent to just include
yeah.
neoliberals. And in the Democratic coalition, you do have leftists who are advocating for. You know, socialism. You do have Dem Sock Sock
yes.
Dem, and
mm-hmm. again, they're not really socialists. I mean, there are socialists, of course.
You
but,
would,
but
if you're putting a two party system, you would put leftists who, like, Socialist Party would fall under that umbrella.
Yes, yeah. yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who's a socialist? That Bernie Sanders
Bernie
character.
Sanders. Yeah.
God damn it! Thank God Joe Biden saved us.
Oh boy.
So, neoliberal Superman.
Neoliberals to the rescue. Neoliberals got us here, and.
How?
They will take us down.
How's he going to beat Donald Trump?
He's not.
Sleepy Joe.
Dude, it's going to be a... I keep saying it's going to be a slaughter.
Of all the aft nicknames.
Like, literally. Well, and that's the thing. I was telling Brandon on the guy on Twitter I was getting into it with. And Swan Guy goes...
Of course you were.
Of course I was. Swan Guy goes, you know, they're going to attack him on... how he's against Social Security and he's against Medicare, and Republicans are just—they're just going to smear him and tell their and like two-face it because they're against the same thing. And I'm like, I replied, I was just like, and they would be correct. Like,
is he against Social Security?
He is
and Medicare?
For Social Security cuts. He is against expansion of Medicare. Yep. Like, the most dangerous thing in the world is a Republican who's able to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Most dangerous thing.
The most in politics in our two-party system. When you give Republicans the ability to tell the truth,
if he can get up there and fight him with truth,
they don't
instead
have
of making
to spin.
Shit up, they don't have like it
Donald
just,
Trump. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It makes him no matter what he says. Like as long as it's true about Biden, it already looks bad. He doesn't have to spin it. There's no like muckraking.
Oh,
it's just,
sure.
He's got shitty policies, and all Trump has to do is go up there and do that. He doesn't even have to make fun of him being a Sunday. You know, like he doesn't have to go. Doesn't have to make it below the belt. You know, he doesn't have to. But he doesn't have to.
But and if he's smart, he won't. Because
I agree.
What you're essentially saying is the worst thing you could do is run a bad candidate.
Yes.
Correct.
Who you could say truthful, awful things.
Yes.
About.
Yes.
Right. So many words. It's exactly.
It's
what
exactly.
He was
what it is. Okay. But yeah. Republicans do tend to fucking lie, distort, and smear a lot of shit. They will. Be able to just kind of straight up beat him on his record.
Yeah.
Like, there's no...
I disagree with your characterization of the average Republican, but
Matt
the same...
Matt Gaetz wore a mask into the coronavirus here. They sensationalize everything. Matt
Gaetz
wore a fucking mask into the coronavirus vote.
I have no idea who Matt Gaetz is.
Matt Gaetz is a Republican representative from Florida, the one who is just... who's Trump's bulldog, basically. And is the most performative douchebag ever and loves to just, like, make... just inflammatory stuff, and he's like up there with the snowball guy. Like,
yeah, he is up there with snowball.
The stunt that he put with the gas mask is to be like, coronavirus.
But I mean, the
snowball guy,
the guy who brought in a snowball into Congress and said, "Where's your global warming?"
Yeah.
You remember that? That was a few years
ago. You never heard about that?
I'm sure I did at
the
time.
It's fucking funny.
Yeah. It's hilarious though.
But yeah, no, you give them
climate.
This ability to.
That's what he means.
That's exactly what he means.
It's a simple differentiation. But at the same time, when you have people who are like, "Oh, look how hot it is in March," it's like, "Well, that's weather also.
That's weather. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's weather. Yep.
So it works both ways.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Could we just like that's the thing? Like we
global warming is absolutely or climate change is absolutely a real thing. It's just that what you're saying might not be.
Right.
Climate change.
Exactly.
It's like hot today. Fucking climate change.
Certainly is. Would you like to discuss the 10-year graphs?
Yeah. Because take a look at it a little bit longer. Let's talk about ice cores, motherfuckers.
No, I mean, it's the dumbest thing in the world. You have a candidate who the three biggest things you can say about Bernie Sanders are socialist,
Jew.
Okay, the four biggest things you could say about Bernie Sanders.
Of course.
You don't get to expand it to 4J. Jew kicks one thing out. You got to choose now. Yeah, I know, right?
All right.
Jew's a big one. That's a big one for a lot of people.
Socialist, Jew.
Where's he hiding that gold?
And how are we gonna pay for Medicare for all?
Yeah.
How are we going to pay for
these
Medicare?
Are your...
All right, just out of curiosity, what was your fourth one?
Now I forgot.
I forget too.
What was it? I said
why things
car.
Are better in threes.
Yeah. But these are your three big.
Oh,
like,
that one thing he said about Castro. Like,
oh, the Castro thing.
Yeah.
He likes Castro. If those are your three big oppos, and the dude's been in politics for
40.
How many years? 40.
Yeah,
right?
more than.
I
that.
Think you got to bounce that out and add heart attack into.
Okay.
The
yeah. You know what? You're right.
That's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even for me, that's a big one.
But
I'm like, ugh.
That's it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't like a president who's like high on amphetamines either. They're both bad.
Yeah.
Drugs or whatever.
But as a proponent of legalizing drugs, I have to be more okay with that.
I have to be more okay with that. Yeah. But like, that's it. You can't attack Bernie. I mean, I guess you can attack him from the right on his record. You can't attack him from the left on his record. Biden is very vulnerable on his left. With a lot of the shit that he's advocated for and does continue to advocate for.
Yeah.
And all the Republicans have to do is stand up there and literally just tell the truth.
Yeah, it makes for an easy election.
It really does.
It makes for a fucking layup for Trump. It's
yeah.
Yeah. They're just going to be like, thanks.
Yep.
We're here for another 4 years.
And and fucking Burisma, like, which is bullshit. Like, whatever.
Burisma
I think
Holdings?
The fucking Hunter Biden shit. The whole impeachment thing. You don't think they're going to fucking
club
him
be,
over the head with the nepotism?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And then I saw, well, what about Trump's kids? Nobody gives a shit about Trump.
Going
the Republicans
to care.
Don't care.
Yeah, they Republicans
Trump
don't
doesn't care.
Care. Yeah,
like
they knew what they were getting.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
You're supposed to be the anti-corruption party,
right?
Yeah,
he's dragging everybody down to his level.
Yeah. He has.
It's the best way to win. Yeah, right? He might be a genius. I'm just saying.
An unintentional one, but yeah.
Maybe not intentional. No, I don't think he's playing 4D chess. But no. I think he's got good instincts, and he goes after shit.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Like, I'll definitely give you that.
That'll get you a long way in life.
Yes, it will. Might get him another 4 years.
I think it will. I mean, I hate to say I told you so, but this has been like... We've been saying for 4 years. Who are they going to run? How are they going to pull this off? And
well, the Democratic establishment.
We've got like what?
The worst.
6 months left? 8 months left?
Yeah. This is like
7 months left.
Seven, yeah.
So it's in November. Mm-hmm. Right.
So I've put together a game.
A game?
Yes. And it's Biden's policies and Trump's policies.
Okay, there, pal. You were just like,
I had to burp. I didn't want to do it on mic if I could get it out over here, but I was just shocked at the game.
A little game.
Is it called The Parent Trap? I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry. I just forgot what this podcast is about. Go on, Jay.
No, we're not turning that direction a lot. We're not turning there yet.
This is a quick game, but it's a fun game I put together. It's Biden's policies and Trump's policies, and we're going to decide.
This is going to be fun.
We're
going to
guess which one is which. I'm just going to read you a policy, and you're going to tell me whether it's supported by Joe Biden, whether it's supported by Donald Trump.
Okay. I'll tell you just by how it's worded.
All right.
The best. Going to have the biggest wall.
We should not have integrated busing.
I already know this one.
Well, I mean, it's got to be Joe Biden.
Yeah, that's Joe Biden. Joe Biden.
Because by the time when integrated busing was a thing, Donald Trump was very apologized. Progressive.
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We should end foreign wars.
We should end. It's Donald Trump.
That's Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You're correct.
He's not a war hawk.
No.
He's all about the green, baby.
Yeah. I mean, I think people around him are war hawks, especially John Bolton.
No, they are. But he is not. Sure.
John Bolton was, too, especially. But I really don't think.
No legalized weed.
Biden.
And Trump
doesn't care.
Well,
he did say one weird thing about it. Yes. There was something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But mostly he stayed away from the topic.
Yeah.
Ending the kids in cages at the border.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
That's Donald Trump.
That would actually be a Donald Trump policy.
Yeah.
Based on his immigration policy. Joe Biden is kind of fine. Yeah. I mean, it's bad for both. They both have shit policies on
Well, it. It was occurring while Joe
that's,
Biden was
that's,
vice
that's,
president.
That's the point.
The
yeah.
Yeah. That's the point.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Let's talk about this electability issue. forgot. Well, that's
what issue?
continuing the war on drugs.
Biden, but Trump doesn't care about drugs.
Yep.
He doesn't do them, but he's like whatever.
Let's see. Got an F on his climate report card.
Ooh.
I want to say both of them.
Yeah, because, I mean, Trump pulled us out of the Paris Accords, but I clearly know in this game that's going to be Joe Biden.
It's Joe Biden! Yeah. It's also Donald Trump.
I was going to say, it's probably, I have to say
trick
both.
Question, yeah.
Did Trump get an F also?
I believe so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Let's see. No student debt relief.
Well, we know that.
Isn't that everybody?
That's everybody.
It's everybody.
Yeah.
For-profit prisons continuing.
100%
Wait,
Joe Biden.
Hold
Joe
on.
Biden
is... What is that? Did somebody be like, Joe, are you for for-profit prisons? And he was like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't have a policy against it.
But that's what I'm asking. Does that what that means?
Platform.
Like he's just like no one's asked
reading,
him.
I'm not or, reading his platform. No, he's
or has he come out and been like, oh, I love for profit.
Oh,
prisons.
I think he's worked with
them. Yeah,
he's legislated for them in the past.
This is based
okay.
on his record.
So we're
this
talking
is
about
his
voting record.
That's what I was gonna say.
Okay,
this is mainly
so
based
it's
on his
policy
legislation.
And record.
Yeah, I'm with you now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Then I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Like who says that? Like
I love
for profit prisons. Let me tell you what I'm excited about.
Lock anybody up for money.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Increased military spending budget.
Oh, well,
everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah, correct.
Everybody. They gave him trillions of dollars. Get that. That's what everybody's voting for.
Everybody.
Except Bernie.
He's a tyrant. He's a monster. There's trillions of dollars. for missiles.
Yep.
No, don't spend it on anything else. This is for missiles. What are you doing, Don? This
Pro...
is missile money.
Pro-Wall... Pro banking subsidies, pro Wall Street bailout.
Well, Donald Trump doesn't have a voting record on that that I'm aware of.
So who is it?
It's Joe Biden.
Joe Biden!
Of course it is.
Because he's a Republican. You get the game here? The game is, for those of you playing along at home, that if you vote for Joe Biden, you're actually voting for someone with measurably worse policies than Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Like, for those of you who are listening who are still Biden bros, Joe Biden is a Republican. Joe Biden was pro-segregation. Joe Biden is not for a $15 minimum wage. Joe Biden has an F on his climate report card, which means he supports zero climate change initiatives to support the biggest threat that we are facing as a people.
That can't be a thing. There's just no way. He just supports nothing. He's like, recycling? No. Vote down on recycling.
We don't need it.
Pro fracking. Joe Biden, if you're a millennial like us, says he has no compassion or empathy for you.
Don't categorize me as a millennial. You're a millennial. I don't identify like that. How dare you?
He has no empathy for us. He has no empathy for people in student debt.
He's a politician and used the word empathy.
That's true.
It's a good question.
What's wrong with you?
So, like, whatever, I'm a lefty progressive, but, like, these are facts. And if you consider yourself a Democrat who is opposed to Donald Trump, you owe it to everybody to vote for the Democratic candidate who is actually opposed to Donald Trump and not the candidate who is Donald Trump-lite.
Elizabeth Warren.
She dropped out.
Boom.
She dropped out today.
She could have been our first woman president. Oh, my God.
And fucking at me.
Another
message
missed
me on Facebook.
Another missed opportunity. Wow. Okay. You guys. So I'm going to win $200 in this election. I'm just saying.
Good for you, Dave. I hate that you're going to win it, but good for you.
I figured I might as well make some money off this.
I don't blame
wreck.
You. Who'd That's
you
bet on? Great.
I bet on Trump.
Who'd you bet with? I should say.
Oh, predict it. They do all sorts
of
political markets.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can bet on who's going to win, all sorts of various crap.
Yep. You're going to win.
Yeah.
You're going to win.
I hate that you're going to win, but you're going to win.
I know, right?
Big fan of watching. It's like.
If Bernie gets
the
nomination.
Those shares
if
2 years
ago. If hell freezes over and Bernie gets the nomination, it might be a different story. Yeah. But
Bernie's the only one who can
win. I'm with
you.
Bernie is the only one who can win. Absolutely.
Exactly.
I 100% agree with you guys. And even if it's Bernie, I still think that's a close race. Yeah. The amount of support that you're seeing in the primary is troubling. Because I get it. Joe Biden is not the candidate. I totally agree. I think Bernie is the only shot you got. But clearly, there is a large section of the voting population who is still in favor of Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
there's also a large section who is Bernie or bust at this point.
But, oh, yeah, for sure.
And I'm pretty much on that train, too. Like, why cast my vote for that shit when I can write in Bernie Sanders?
Jay, you're so late to the Bernie Sanders train.
I know, he really is.
I wish we were talking.
I hate to tell you, bro.
I wish we were talking in 2016, because, like, the dude and I align on pretty much every policy.
I can't help you.
You already put in your time. You put in your time.
Right, I did my tour.
You got people to register.
I did a tour of duty.
You were pushing so hard, and I was kind of there with you, but I was even naysaying back then.
I contributed to the man's campaign.
I know.
Contributed as well?
Well, this time around, Jay.
No, but like you were pushing it. Even back then, I was like, I don't know if he can do it. And I regret that. I wish I had more faith back then.
Well, we'll see what happens. I think. And if he wasn't too old this time, he's definitely going to be too old next time.
Well, that's for sure.
I don't think he's running next
time. No, he wouldn't run next time.
It's all right. We got Tulsi and we got Yang and we got.
Yeah, Yang's up.
Who's that bitch who put everybody in prison? Kamala Harris.
Yang's kind of making a turn.
He's going into a nonprofit thing or something?
No, I also heard he was floating, running for mayor of New York.
Mayor of New York.
I heard that too, but I don't know if I buy that. Yeah. I also heard he was starting a nonprofit.
Which is cool. Oh, yes, I also heard that too. I think he's definitely doing that. Yeah.
It's an interesting idea. I just think he's like 50 years too early.
I think, yes, for his policies,
I don't think we're at the point where it's like the robots are going to be delivering
No, that's
mail.
Not a tangible
problem. I also
it's a problem in some fields, but it's not a tangible nationwide problem.
I'll tell you what, the more you raise the minimum wage, the sooner it's going to become a problem.
That's true. Yeah.
Which is interesting. Maybe that's a good reason to raise the minimum wage. Let's get this machine moving.
I want robots waiting on me, hand and foot.
Let's go.
I don't want to talk to real waiters. I don't want to talk to real people.
Slave robots.
I'm
Come on. When is this happening?
I have social anxiety. I don't want to talk to anybody when I go out.
Problem is, it's like it's so funny because we all thought it would be robots and like the physically manual intensive jobs would be like taken away for. It's really like desk jobs because you can replace things with like a kiosk or like a an app, like all that. Like that's automation.
A lot
like
of the, a lot of the service stuff that which is what our economy is based on is going that way, which is.
Well, a lot of anything that requires fine motor skills is just still better done by a human being.
Yes.
You can do it faster and more efficiently and more regularly than a robot at a cheaper price still.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of people who like sit at a desk who like, even my industry, like mortgages, like Rocket Mortgage.
Workflow and stuff like that could all be handled by algorithms these days completely.
Yeah. The problem is old people. I'll tell you from somebody who's in the field.
Yeah, I know.
It's like I send somebody an online application and they're like, I don't understand.
Yep.
I have to upload. How do I get my pay stub into the computer? I have a CD drive.
Like you have to scan it. What?
Scan it?
Scan? Listen, I've been looking at it all day. I've scanned it thoroughly.
Right? I'm very familiar with it by this point. You want me to relay the information over the telephone? I can beep it out in Morse code.
You have a transponder on your end?
But once all those fucks are dead, whoo.
Things are going to be good.
It's going to be cooking.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The economy's just going to be humming. Robots everywhere.
Yep. We'll be living it up. Lap
living
of luxury.
It up.
With our UBI.
Slave robots. Yep.
No, that's bad.
What?
We're taking a step backwards.
Why? What's wrong, Brandon?
Take the word slaves out of it for now.
I don't know why robot, it's a problem. It's an accurate description.
Robot servants?
Well, are you paying them?
Robot service workers.
Yeah.
Automated service workers.
You send them home at night? They have autonomy?
No, they're slaves. They're robots.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Not really sentient either, guys.
It won't be a problem until they look like people.
Then it'll get weird.
Look, guys, they're not synths from Star Trek.
So it's going to be sex robots that's the
you
first
missed
problem.
It, you fuck.
I heard your Star Trek
I
reference.
Was
I'm not even
We're
interested.
We're like 30 minutes
I'm
in.
I'm not even interested.
God. I was trying hard for you.
And the problem is I had legitimate things to say about the fucking movies that I don't even remember the name of this week.
Dude.
Last week.
Let me tell you,
and now I've forgotten all of them.
That's fine, because they suck.
I'm not going to apologize, but it was unfortunate I couldn't.
You already did apologize, and I accept it, so it's too late to take it back.
God damn it.
And on that note, we're going to talk about them, because
right.
I watched them. And
stupid.
Fine, let's get into it.
All right. I'm excited to talk about Star Trek.
Ooh, rock and roll.
I was practicing it all day because I don't know my script.
I mean, I could always be louder. I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jay.
Nobody asked for this.
A podcast where we dissect reboots, remakes, retcons, and requels of our favorite movies and TV shows.
This week, the movies don't matter, but I did want to say happy birthday to Brandon's mom.
Yay.
Because that happened to happen on today. This will come out 2 weeks late.
She's out to dinner with her friends. She's having a good time.
Glad she's having fun. Brandon's mom, if you're still listening, I don't want to hint at your last name.
But thanks. She still subscribe, but she skips right over our episodes in her feed.
We curse too much for her.
No, that's your mom.
Jay, that's your mom. But I hear your dad's a loyal listener.
Got my mom and dad to vote for Bernie, by the way. Sorry,
hey,
cut that
no!
part out.
Nice.
Dude,
way.
Huge.
That's great.
Wow. That's
huge.
First of all,
I turned.
That's insane, and it'll never happen. But
they voted in the VA primary.
Voted for,
they voted for him.
Oh, would you look at that?
It's Tuesday. Yep.
Wow. Are they registered Democrats? Or is that only a New Jersey thing?
Oh, my mom's an independent. My dad's a red. I believe he's. I don't think he's a registered, but Virginia has an open primary.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Anyway, we watched The Parent Trap. You guys liked it.
No. I mean, well,
Brandon apparently liked it.
I didn't hate it, but again, I went into it going, this movie is for little girls. And I can
so
deal with that.
So it's perfect for Brandon.
Like, I just, as long as I accepted that
he
it wasn't,
popcorn out.
Wasn't trying to appeal to me, I was like, they weren't bad. They were kids' movies, but they weren't bad.
They were bad kids' movies.
All right.
First of all.
I mean, the premise is ridiculous. If we want to get into the premise of it.
I have a whole problem with the premise.
Hold on. First of all, everything Brandon just said is super sexist, because this movie appealed to me as a man in a lot of ways.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
You know what it's like to be a separated 11-year-old girl?
No, I don't know what it's like to have a broken family and
oh,
be a
I
total
do.
Disaster. That's your neighborhood, Brandon. But as a man, I related to the father character in a number of ways, especially in the first movie. In the second movie, I couldn't care less. I actually thought the original was a lot better.
I was, as soon as it started, and I was like, the two songs that played did not engender me to it. I was like,
no, none of these.
There was the opening theme, and then there was a song played at the dance thing that was actually the girl in it. Haley, whatever.
Oh, she sung it?
That was her singing it. And then they sing it again later when they were doing the guitar and piano thing. So at first I was like, this movie's going to give me a migraine. But then that was the only singing song.
There was the one thing later where they put on the show for them.
After that, I was like, all right, the characters are pretty interesting. They're not that interesting, but they were well done enough.
I frequently laughed with the first movie, the original Parent Trap, and I only laughed at the remake. I enjoyed the remake. I agree with that take. Oh, okay. So Jay's with me. You really like the remake?
I didn't hate the remake. I thought the remake was okay. I liked, first of all, Dennis Quaid. I like Natasha Richardson. They're both very good actors in their own right. Well, and she passed away. She died in a skiing accident.
Oh, she's one of those.
She was Liam Neeson's wife.
They get like 10 famous people a year. Skiing accidents.
They absolutely do.
It really
when you read it, you're like, oh, skiing accidents.
No one dies quads in a skiing accident.
Poor people don't die in skiing accidents. No.
Exactly. You're right. Yeah.
Multimillionaires. It's like, so true. I wonder what the average is of multimillionaires dying in skiing accidents.
It's the average income.
I want to see that graph. Like, your income to your chance of dying in a skiing accident is just skews up at like 200,000. It's just like, boom.
Just a fucking
and then
wall.
At like 1 million, it just skyrockets.
It totally is. It 100% is. But I also liked the supporting characters. Like, I liked the butler guy, and I liked the, I guess, maid kind of person.
The female butler.
The
help were the best characters in all the movies.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah. Jay's with that also.
I feel like I'm with you on this. I didn't find it as funny as you the first one. There were some better moments. I did like the when they're in the river and they're standing on one little kid's shoulders.
Little kid Lindsay Lohan was a million times more more tolerable than the little kid actor.
Oh, she was a better actor, but it was also like the time that the movies, all acting was a little corny back then.
And
as a kid, I was like, okay, you're not a terrible actor. But Lindsay Lohan, I mean, I tried to separate Lindsay Lohan from Lindsay Lohan. And that's difficult to do.
Knowing the train wreck that was to come.
Seeing her future.
Yeah. It is weird. It,
very weird.
You know what really fucking pissed me off?
The movies?
Everything.
Yeah.
More specifically?
Yeah. That you made me watch them.
I didn't make you do anything, Jay. You participated in this podcast voluntarily.
They were fucking
voluntarily.
2 hours and 5 minutes long.
That was offensive as fuck.
Long.
That was seriously offensive.
Oh my God.
I was angry the entire... Just knowing that they... Like, that put me in a bad mood going in.
We usually get lucky. The first one's usually 90 minutes at most. It has been a tight 90.
And I knew it wasn't a great... Like, either one of them I knew weren't great movies going in. And, like, I had never seen either one.
They're just not movies we would watch.
And I was like...
we're not the target.
No,
but I thoroughly enjoyed watching Jungle Book and Lion King. Like, those are kids' movies that I thoroughly enjoyed watching.
Yeah.
But then I saw, like, the Disney one. I was like, all right, whatever. It's fucking 2 hours. Like, of course. And then I saw the runtime on the 61 Disney one.
I was like, the fuck?
And I was like... angry immediately and did not get over it the entire movie. It was offensively long.
I will do that.
I'll tell you what, I actually appreciated the fact that they didn't feel the need to make it longer. I was like, finally, a Disney movie that maintained the same
But how
length.
Could they? Yeah.
Also, that was pre Lord of the Rings. That was pre where you had to fluff shit out.
That's true.
That was long for the time, even in 1998.
Yeah, you're right.
I enjoyed the wife, the mother in the original one, like thoroughly. Yeah.
She was a good actress.
Like, she carried a lot of that movie.
Yes.
The part where the kids are at the camp, I was like, fucking get out of here. That sucked.
That was a slow start.
Yeah. Jay, fencing.
That pissed me off as well. That's not how you fence.
There is fencing in the remake,
which was
so topical, I guess.
Huh?
98?
It just felt so...
It was a product. It was more of a product of its time, kind of.
Yeah.
It is a little rich kid campy, too.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
It is a rich kid camp as someone who's been in the industry.
It felt like it was capitalizing on like Richie Rich and Blank Check and like all those kind of like kids with upper middle class money movies in the 90s.
Yeah.
Right? I can count the number of times when we were on the fencing team in high school where you would kick off of a tree to repost against your opponent.
That is how I actually won my. That's like three tournaments actually.
Really, the three, tree kick. They never expect the tree kick.
I kicked off a tree and then reposted with a foil after with an edge, with the edge of the blade.
Right, you swing it wildly
because it. That's how you fence foil
as a fencer.
And using a French grip, of course. Yeah. Definitely how you want to utilize that French grip foil by using your entire arm to make parries and fucking not reposting by extending your point.
It was the worst and most absolutely expected representation of fencing ever. I was like, this is exactly what you would expect as like a bad... Like if I wanted to write a bad representation of fencing, that would be it.
Yep.
Like a caricature of fencing.
Yes, exactly.
And like the blade action, like just like the immediate en garde and fence, and they're just like tapping each other's blades. That's not how you fence.
Oh no, it is, Jay.
It's not, like literally tap my disengage and fucking hit you in the shoulder.
Lindsay Lohan could teach you a thing or two.
Disengage her around. Never fucking touch their blade unless you're gonna make an action. Stupid.
I mean, they're 11.
I taught 11-year-olds. You know, fucking, are you kidding me?
If only Jay had been coached by Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, right?
You really could have been something.
I would have been so much better.
You really could have been
something.
Goddamn,
what do I know? I'm just a fucking scholarship athlete. Fucking multi-time champion coach. What do I know?
And humble to boot.
Goddamn.
The most humble.
Of course. It's what everybody says about Jay.
Championship humbilitude.
Hey, woke up, still champs. Guess I'm going to go to sleep tonight, wake up tomorrow, still be champ.
And living in the present. Living every day. Oh, I knew you would appreciate the contribution this movie made to the legacy of movie fencing.
I don't know. Has there been a movie that's done it right?
No.
Did Star Trek TNG do it right?
Yeah, I haven't seen that scene in forever, but I kind of think they
I don't even
did,
know what scene
they were
you guys
fencing
are
Epe.
About?
I think it's is it Iborg?
Or are they fencing Saber? It might be an Iborg.
It's one of the extended like Guinan episodes. I forget which one.
But it's like an early. They're early on, and they do. They're fencing on a strip, like a legit, a legit.
Oh,
strip.
I do remember that. Yeah. I don't think it was bad. I don't remember. I haven't seen the episode in a while either.
Yeah,
I tend to skip the early episodes.
We all do.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll get to Star Trek later.
Yeah, we won't. We don't have time. We got to talk about the.
Did you really not watch the episode?
I can't. I can't talk about the show because I haven't seen the show.
I hate you. I really wanted to talk about it.
Oh, well, disappointments abound.
God damn it.
Sometimes somebody doesn't watch the show. Sometimes somebody doesn't show up for the podcast. It's like, whatever, you know?
Wow, really, really. Digging the knife deeper, man. Ugh.
I mean, I think that, like, this was just. The premise in general bothered me as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Which part?
I hate being like
the part where you manipulate your parents?
Yeah. Well, not even that. Let's talk about separating your twins and pretending 100% don't exist.
Yes.
What the fuck? That's really twisted.
Christine and I talked about that afterwards, actually, because it was like it was
the
somebody
whole premise is messed up.
Only somebody who like never had kids.
Yeah.
Could write that concept.
Like, that's not how it works.
Like, oh, you know what? I hate you so much that I'm willing to sacrifice a child to never talk to you again.
It's like if Solomon was there, he would have cut a baby in half.
They
like,
did. They cut the picture in half.
They literally did. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in neither movie, arguably, and I'm going to get back to this, was there anything horrible enough to like hate the person so much
get along just fine.
That you'd never want to see that person again to the point of disowning one of your children?
And if there was...
Except the fact that in the original, the wife was an abuser. They haven't seen each other in like 14 years, and the first thing she does within 5 minutes
socks
is she
eye.
Punches him in the eye, and he goes, "You always do this."
I didn't catch that part.
Yes.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh my God. That's why he had to get away from her.
He was in an abusive relationship.
And he was like, and I'm going to save one of our daughters from your horrible abusiveness.
They're just turning the trope on its head is what it is. They were ahead
That's
of their
so
time.
That's so funny.
Yeah. But I'm sorry, Jay. I interrupted you.
Oh, dude. I don't even know. Like, I hate to be the person who just, like, nitpicks movies and shit, but, like, none of it makes sense.
No.
Like you can't even, there's no suspension of disbelief for me to hand wave shit.
It's basically like they were like,
legitimate critique when the premise of your movie is ridiculous.
I guess that's true, yeah.
They basically worked backwards from, we want this actress to play two parts, twins that switch places.
Right.
And then they worked backwards from that.
Yeah.
To make this convoluted
fucking
shit.
What if they never met and the parents separated them at birth?
No.
Like, Carl, great idea.
Then both parents are evil as shit.
Yeah, and no one thought about it beyond that point. Nobody was in the room to be like, hey,
also,
wait a minute.
The help in both movies knew about this other kid, too. And they didn't say shit. What's up with that? The grandparent knew. He didn't say shit. What the fuck?
It was like this big conspiracy of both families.
I'd be like, fuck all of you. You've all been lying to me.
Yeah, right?
They're all liars. The kids are liars, too. It comes from the top.
Okay, right? Right, hey, they bought it too.
But like, just the idea that they're gonna switch, and like this one girl who's gonna keep up a British accent for the entire fucking time. Try it, play along at home. You can't do it. You can't like and like
challenge. I could.
They have the same favorite foods apparently. Like they know they're just walking around
the dog that
the daughter is meeting the mom around London. Like, the daughter is leading the mom around London to the shop, or is that the second one?
I don't know. Oh, the second one, they were in London. The first one was in Boston.
The daughter's walking her. The mom is following the daughter. How does the daughter know what's going on?
I didn't notice that. But yeah. No, a lot of it was ridiculous. The whole movie was... And the whole idea that you're going to, like, emotionally manipulate your parents into falling back in love...
That's also
fucked up. Also creepy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, you know what? What they want doesn't really matter. What we need is to get them.
I feel like
emotionally stimulated by a candlelight dinner,
I feel like, at least for me, I bought the rekindling of the romance more in the newer one because of the actors. I feel like it's Dennis Quaid and Natasha Richardson. They sold it better than whoever the fuck was in the original one.
Yeah, that's
the rekindling
point.
Part, you know.
Brandon, as somebody who comes from a broken home, what was your take on the ability to bring?
I couldn't stop crying.
Brandon was taking notes for when he eventually goes back in time.
No.
You know what? I thought the one really good aspect of the we've separated and all this shit is I think in every case when either parent first met the missing daughter, I thought they all did a really good job of being like, oh my God, a child that I haven't seen in at least 10 years. I think in the second one, they were only 11. In the first one, they were 14.
Yes.
So, oh, you're right. They were. Yeah.
But whatever, but like just for a long time. Yes. I feel like every actor.
They sold that moment of like, oh my God.
Yeah. I thought they all did a really good job of that.
I agree.
And there were at least one of those, I was like, oh, it's
like, it was pretty endearing.
It was, and that's what got me, especially in the original one. I was like, all right, and then they go on the camping trip, and he's bonding with both of that I really enjoyed that part in the original one, too, where the mother tricks the fiancé to go on the camping trip.
Yes.
Because she knows that she can't hack it,
mm-hmm.
and that's when it all falls apart. I just felt like that was such a really good, because what are you going to do? Like, there's this woman and there's a relationship going on. And there's momentum to this relationship.
Yes.
They're getting married. And to really sabotage that, you can't present yourself as I'm the better pick.
You have to
make it clear that this person is wrong for you. And I was like, that's clever. They really did a good job with that. And the clacking of the sticks.
Yeah.
Which they did in the remake too, but they never set it up. So the payoff was stupid.
I feel like they cut that. Cause I noticed that too. Have. I was like, what? That?
Yeah.
Yeah, they even were like, "Did you tell her that that was the thing?" And they were like, "What?" And you're like, "Yeah, where's the first part of that sound?" Like they must have cut that out accidentally. Not accidentally. We know what I mean. Like,
it's on the cutting room floor somewhere.
Yeah, they had room for like 2 hours and 5 minutes.
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
They were fucking long. I wouldn't recommend anybody watch either of these. But since we had to watch them, I didn't.
You should too.
I didn't hate them. But I was forced to watch them, so I tried to make the best of my
situation. I liked the Rube Goldberg pranking at the beginning of the second one, where like they woke up, she woke up.
Oh, they did it in the first one too.
Yeah, I liked it better in the second. I don't know.
Okay.
What it was.
Yeah, it was. Fair enough. I don't know.
Got everybody. Everybody got like except for her, who there was like just stuff like around her head or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, that's lame. You pranked her badly.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
As someone who's pranked people,
yeah,
you should prank better. It was also ridiculous. Was it in the remake where all the furniture ended up on the roof?
Yeah, I didn't understand how that got there.
I was
there.
Like, yeah, an 11-year-old girl did that?
Like, yep.
With a crane?
And nail guns? And
I got my craning badge.
Yeah, it's a slanted
glue?
Roof.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. But then again, I mean, I guess the premise is a little ridiculous, but
yes, the whole thing.
They didn't make it like it wasn't cartoony. Like, if you're going to do something cartoony like that, like, all the furniture's on the roof, I feel like you have to set up, like, a more ridiculous attitude.
I feel like the cabin has to collapse.
Yeah, something crazy's
like,
got
to
happen.
Like, legit, like, they have to be, like, walking up, and then the furniture's on the roof, and then pan to them, and then pan back to the, you hear the creaking.
Yeah.
Creak, creak, yeah. And then, like, ah! Like, I feel like that.
Didn't have it in the budget.
Is the payoff.
They had to copy Lindsay Lohan over and over.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of camera work in this where it's a body double and you see only the face of one of them during a shot. Mm-hmm. But even in the original, there were parts where they were both on screen at the same time.
Yep.
And I was like, wow, in the 50s, they did like a decent job of this, which made me be totally less impressed. But in the 90s, when I was like, oh,
they could have done better with that.
That doesn't come very far, has it?
No, it was exactly the same technique.
Which is fine, yeah. I guess.
Just probably more computers were involved. Yeah, maybe.
Although in the 90s, I don't know. Typewriters.
It's really,
probably.
It's not that hard to do. It's just hard to do well. It's a composite shot. Like, they're mostly static shots. So all you have to do is basically have the same shot just overlaid each other.
Yeah.
If they're lit the same, they look exactly the same.
Yeah, it's, but it just, in the 50s, I expected, I don't know what I expected.
Well, here's what I watched it. The little bit of trivia that I read on it is that the studio guys were like, hey, you know, don't worry about this. Don't worry about having them on screen as much. We're gonna get a good body double just to do like back and forth shots.
Right.
And they apparently then the special effects people showed them a couple of test shots, and they were so good that they were like, "Oh, then just do more of that. Then we don't need the body double as much."
That's cool because now it's like a gimmick.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look what we can do. Yeah. Well, oh, that's neat.
It's Disney for you.
Well, Disney.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Of course.
Send me my money.
Yep.
Didn't Bob Iger step down?
He did.
It was scheduled. He was gonna do that. It was announced last year.
Oh,
but
was
it happened.
It did finally come to pass.
Because Star Wars was so terrible.
He's also staying on as like a consultant, like they always do.
I don't buy it.
Well, I mean, he needs his money.
Yeah.
He's got to get a check. Everybody's got to get a check.
Everybody needs more money.
Yeah.
You got to get that check. Yes. That's when it becomes like, hey, man, you just hook me up with like a consulting job. And you send me a check every month.
Yep.
Like that's.
I wish I could be a consultant.
Yeah, right.
Oh, dude.
I was listening to fucking Jimmy Dore.
I
love his line, like, whenever he's talking about these shills, it's like, oh, you know, they get paid millions of dollars to do all this shit, to sell out their values, and he always turns it, I can't wait to get paid millions of dollars to sell out my values.
Sign me up, like, I'll sell my values right out.
Let's go. Yeah. For sale.
Done. I mean, I'm not even expensive either. I'm very affordable.
I will consult for Disney for $20,000 a day. Easy.
Wow, so you are very expensive.
I think that's reasonable.
Disney, you call me. We'll work something out. I'm way more easy to work with than Jay, and I'll take way less than $20,000 a day. Trust me. I'm going to make a better. We'll make a better deal.
You tell me $20,000 a day, and I give you great advice like your movies suck.
Don't talk to Jay. He's not a deal maker. He hasn't read The Art of the Deal.
Start from a position of strength.
Oh, maybe he has.
I'm not going to get $20,000, but I'm not going to go in there and say I want $5,000.
It's called the big ask.
You got to go and start with the big ask.
Yep. What else do we have to say about these movies?
Okay, so I got nothing.
Yeah, really.
I had more last week, but... We were Fiverr, and then we'll talk about Star Trek for a little bit.
Sure.
And we've kept it under an hour so far, so we can get a little Star Trek in. Then you know, I'll kick you guys out.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
All right, sweet. And we're back.
Yep.
Star Trek?
Star Trek.
Did you guys watch it?
Yes.
Yeah.
What happened?
So Picard got on the cube.
That was episode 6. What happened in episode 5?
That was the 7 of 9 episode.
Oh, you're right. I jumped ahead. I am sorry. I forgot. Well, I want to talk about both.
Well, you can only talk about one.
All right, then I'll talk about the newest one.
Talk about both.
For laying out all these fucking rules.
I'm just making up rules as I go.
Why don't you tell us what happened then?
I don't remember. That's why I need you guys to.
Oh, okay. So yeah, Free Cloud was the episode 5 where they... Remember, they had just picked up 7 of 9.
Right, right.
And then
shown around for an episode.
Yeah, I know.
Her storyline was promptly wrapped up.
Completely wrapped up.
She's now
so episode. Oh, episode 5 opened with each ship getting his
eye cut out.
Yeah. Remember that?
Yes,
that
which was totally necessary.
Yeah, right. By Borg technology stealing people.
Yep, it's got something to do with something.
Yep. Yeah, that it's
doesn't matter.
None of this matters.
Not yet. It's fine.
That was a side plot. That was
Is over now
because Ichab's dead,
so we don't care anymore.
Well, Bruce Maddox died.
That was
kind of
weird. That was
pretty good.
That was a well done. I will say that was a well done scene.
I don't know. These last two episodes have been better than the first.
Where
four,
Seven had
in
to
my
fucking shoot Ichab, put him out of his misery.
Oh no, that was fine.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, I didn't particularly hate it, but at the same time, I was like, oh, killing Ichab. Okay.
Yeah, they were trying to get you to be emotionally invested in this whole storyline. It did last only an episode. But,
yeah.
But I don't know. I feel so far, these two episodes have been progressively better than the last four.
Jean-Luc Picard is the most easily manipulated son of a bitch on the planet, in the universe.
Yeah,
he's just like,
bit.
I'm a sucker now.
Yeah.
7 of 9. Hello.
Well, he doesn't have Will to, you know, tell him.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to see Will this episode, apparently.
The next episode? The episode we haven't seen yet?
The episode that dropped today.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It was in the preview, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so episode 5 was this self-contained 7 of 9 story.
I like that it was kind of funny. It was kind of fun.
I guess it advanced the Maddox plot. We know that Allison Pill is actually a secret bad guy.
Jurati, yeah.
That's her name, right?
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Jurati is a secret bad guy.
Right. But like, only kind of.
I don't know. I don't know.
We don't know what she knows.
And we don't know how.
I didn't know.
I don't know how far back it goes. Like, I don't know if she was.
No, I think What's-Her-Face turned her.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe she was like infiltrating Maddox from the beginning.
Not a Romulan Starfleet security lady.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough.
She told her like some shit that made her be like, oh, I can't, Maddox can't live, and I clearly have to murder him, and then immediately sleep with the ship captain.
And conveniently somehow delete all the holo records of me murdering him.
Yeah.
Now there's precedent for that because Janeway did it in.
Also, she's an AI specialist.
Oh, is she the captain of the ship? I didn't know she had access to all the subroutines, Jack.
She's also an AI specialist.
She's an
so
AI
I'll give
specialist.
You that.
An AI specialist? That means she can manipulate the computer of a ship she doesn't own?
Dude, maybe
Starfleet
Rios has bad
security. Starfleet officers are magic.
She's not a Starfleet officer.
Oh, that's true. She's not.
She's just some scientist.
She's a researcher at the Daystrom Institute.
Oh, she doesn't work at the Daystrom Institute. The Daystrom Institute is in fucking Japan. She worked in the some Federation facility that was empty because all of her shit was canceled. But don't worry, she cleared all the records.
On
the ship of the guy who we know is a stickler.
Yeah, right.
Everything stowed in Federation manner, and according to every bulkhead is shined. And but I didn't notice that some lady who was hitchhiking deleted all my sensor data for the medical lab.
The problem is they're taking it at face value. That's the thing. Yeah. They don't have a reason to investigate her. Like,
that's true.
And it's not like the EMH is programmed to rat her out.
I just can't, like, the EMH is, are we supposed to believe these holograms are characters, or are they just, like, morons? Are these, like, characters
these
like
not,
Robert Picardo's character?
I don't think they're Robert Picardo's characters. I'm not getting that read yet.
I feel like they might be, like,
I think
bargain bin knockoffs. Like,
maybe. I don't know. I felt like we were trying to go for. Standard.
No, I think that they're, I think what they're going for is an EMH, like, Picardo was the EMH in, the intention of an EMH, which is not to maintains to become like, I guess, sentient and aware.
Yeah, not in the voice.
But they all have different accents and personalities. I thought we were trying to establish them as
like different
characters.
Like,
I feel like that's different.
It's like cosmetics in games. Like,
right, but it's playing to your senses of a different, like the holograms are not all the same. They're different people.
Yeah.
So we're supposed to identify with them as different characters with different personalities and names and accents and mannerisms. But they're also just dumb as rocks.
Again, they're not programmed to rat her out.
Yeah, I think
that's what murdered somebody in your sick bay.
But
you're not programmed to tell anybody on that?
She did deactivate.
She deactivated the EMH.
Oh, okay. I'm glad she's got the ability to override the EMH in a life-threatening situation. Yeah. All right, she got all the security protocols. So she came on board, I guess.
Maybe Commander Vulcan Lady gave her like USB stick with all the passwords.
Oh, okay.
That's true.
It could easily be written off. Yeah. Like,
it's a good point.
That's
like,
a handling.
As much as we nitpick, like a lot of stuff you have to just kind of go with the flow. And like, yeah, there were plenty of opportunities for her to get slipped all the codes. Like,
I feel like you need to do that then. Like, she needs to have like a necklace.
And
that,
they
like,
may
she
well
plugs
explain
it.
That.
They may, but they won't.
They might. They've.
Okay.
They might.
All right. Let's. She should have it. You have to, if you're going to use Chekhov's gun in the last.
Yes,
scene,
I agree that they should have. They should have at least shown like a scene of her like accessing something.
If she's got like secret power access to like all systems, it's just silly. It's just like, oh, okay. No one's monitoring the sick bay when we have this guy who was super important.
Yeah,
and it was in critical condition, but he died.
Yeah.
Oh, shitty. We won't ask any more questions about that. He was really important.
They took her word for it.
Right. Yep.
Because Picard's a sucker.
He's a sucker. Because he's the most naive person in the galaxy. Yeah.
Even his fucking naive Romulan guy is like, something's up with you. Yeah. And she's like, shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. He knows.
Yeah. He's like, something's up with you.
Seven of Nine's like, you know what I could use? A couple of phaser rifles for my peaceful journey home.
Yeah.
Picard's like, oh, yes, take some phaser rifles, Seven.
Hope you won't go back there and
just
kill
don't
that person.
Murder that lady. I'm against that. But I'm glad we got that out of the way.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Seven
Picard's
character turn of...
I thought he was pretty good, man.
What do you think of Seven being a murderer? Like that is a...
How she's not the Seven that
she's
you're...
She's not the Seven.
Yeah.
They did change her character.
I have a hard time... in one episode...
In one episode, it's tough.
I'm like meh about them being like, oh, remember Seven of Nine? She was a little brash, but like she was always trying to get in touch with her humanity and do like the right thing. Even when she had to disobey orders to do, you know, the right thing, like she's like, I wantonly murder people.
Yeah,
you're supposed to be like 13 years of really hardened her, and she had bad experiences.
I wish I would almost like a Seven spin-off like book or something like that in the intervening years, because I don't like
They need to flesh that out more.
I don't like that it's just like, hey, here's this character who's probably the character who had the most growth on the show. Maybe next to the Doctor?
And now she's just a gunslinger.
And now she's a gunslinger. I don't like that.
And the thing is, it has nothing to do with like her overall, like what makes her her. Like, she never had like an attachment to the Romulans. She's like all like, I have to police Romulan space now because of the thing that happened with the Romulans. It's like, why do you care?
Yeah.
This is like your thing now all of a sudden?
I get that she never joined, or did she join the Federation? I can't remember the line. But like, she was not in the Federation. I would have never expected her to be...
Yeah.
Well, I don't think she's left the Federation. She's like a rogue now.
Yeah, she was in the Federation. But
Fenris Ranger.
At some point, I assume they let her in because of the Janeway thing, and she would imagine.
But she never struck me as like a Federation officer. Like where that arc was going wasn't going to end with her.
It just seems so out of left field that like it'd be like if you had Tom Harris and like all of a sudden he came back and he was like, I hate Asians. Like my driving ambition is that like there's too many Asians on Earth and I need to get rid of them. It's like, weren't you best friends with Harry Kim? Like, why is this a thing?
Why he hates
Tom. You're right. That actually
makes sense.
You said Tom Harris. I was like, Harry Kim?
Tom Paris and Harry Kim into Tom Harris because they were always best buddies. Yeah.
You hang out with Harry for 7 years, man.
Yeah, you might change get some opinions. That would actually have been more pertinent than just randomly. It would have been like if you had Tom Paris show up and been like, I hate Romulans. I've always hated Romulans. Why?
Yeah.
We never knew that about you. Yeah, oh, Seven, you're back, and you're really into protecting the Romulans.
Yeah, it was...
There's something. It's just protecting space.
We talked about the fact there should have been like a clear Borg theme to this show, and you have an ex-Borg, doesn't play into the Borg thing at all.
No, I completely agree with that. Yeah.
She's like, yeah, the Romulans are... I'm really digging these Romulans.
They touched on it a little bit. You know, they talked about, like, finding your humanity and all that sort of stuff, so they touched on it.
Only a sense that she related to Picard.
But it's like, you know who would have been really helpful on that cube in the next episode? Fucking Seven of Nine.
Yeah.
She probably would have been happy to see all these ex-Borgs, like... it would have been more emotional if she'd been there.
It was odd to me that she was not along for the next episode.
The next episode was really good, though. I think what they did in the next episode
was much, much better. Might have been the best episode so far.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. That's pretty much everybody's consensus, too. Like,
yeah?
Yeah.
Well, right again.
No, I think it's really good.
It was excellent. I mean, it was
well written, well paced. It got me to care about the whole like Dodge thing enough to get through that plot. Like,
well, because we finally had interaction between Dodge and characters we care about. She's been on the Dodge sister has been on this like cube with a bunch of
Soji's
assholes.
Soji's the dead one.
Soji's dead.
No, I thought Soji was the living one. Dodge
Soji died.
Really?
It's Dodge.
Yeah, I thought Dodge died and Soji was the alive one.
No.
Christine agrees with me.
Hold on, you might be right.
I think I am. The point is, one of them's dead, and the other one's been hanging out with a bunch of characters we could give a shit about.
I think you're 100% right.
Yeah, I know, because I watched the show, guys. What have you guys been doing?
I've watched the show.
I'm a huge fan of this show.
It shows you how much we really connected with this character.
Yeah, exactly.
Until this episode, which
she's
was good.
Disposable, and there's a planet full of them somewhere.
Yes. And is that what you were trying to say about Dave?
Yeah, they're all disposable. Nobody cares about... Who cares about these androids? They're all disposable junk characters. We can kill them off in dramatic ways and then be like, I'm so sad. Here's another one.
I thought that they were going to do that. I thought when they had when he had the Rubik's Cube with the poison in it.
Oh, yeah.
That was going to happen. And I was like, oh, Dave was right. She was going to actually die.
I called it a Rubik's Cube while we were watching it, so I'm glad you said that.
No, I knew she was going to like activate. That was the whole point.
How about the scene with the Rubik's Cube where the emo Romulan is having a conversation with his sister and he dramatically solves a Rubik's Cube?
Yeah, that was
like imagine if you were having like a serious like conversation about like life and death, cloak and dagger, undercover stuff, and like I solved a Rubik's Cube.
Like, what the fuck are you talking
like,
about?
Like, that's your I'm nailing him with like this killer argument. Like, that'll totally, you know, disarm my sister who hates me.
Like, crazy.
I can solve
sister.
A Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
Oh, well, touche, brother.
You win.
I concede to your point, I guess.
I don't know. I thought that was an okay scene. They were talking about like their different approaches, and he's like, just like with this, it's symbolism beating you over the head with it. It's just stupid. But it was like, right. At least written.
Yeah, no,
into
they
it.
Were explaining the symbol. I would have gotten the
yes,
symbolism
precisely.
Without the
no,
monologue
I completely agree.
Telling me that this is a symbol for slowly solving a puzzle.
Yeah, but Star Trek fans are dumb,
patient.
Jay. They wouldn't get that.
Apparently, we are now.
Yeah. Star Trek fans are dumb people.
I did not like that monologuing. That was my least favorite part of that episode. Was the fucking dumb monologuing with the
evil
cube.
Twins? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, how about the part where she's walking along the path, and he's like, "Remember your memories."
Oh, no, I thought that was okay.
Memorize your memories and remember them.
I thought that was all right.
She was a little douchey. All right.
She just found out that everything in her life is 37 months old, and she's effectively, in some way, a fake human being. And his first idea is like, have you ever tried meditation, bro?
Yeah.
Bro, let's access your past traumas.
Right? What you need is a fucking zero-G fucking float tank.
you gotta try some ayahuasca.
Yeah.
And fucking get in that suspension tank.
And then his suggestions to her are like the most generic, like, clear your mind. Remember,
you're in control. Walk
remember
forward.
Your memories.
Yeah.
Remember that dream. And now remember it.
Now remember it even more.
It's like, what is
now
happening?
Use your Blade Runner powers to turn the corner in your mind.
And it was so, the thing is, it was so obvious the whole time. It's like, what's going to be the big reveal? Oh, she's a robot. We already know. Why are you guys making this all dramatic?
Yeah.
And the part where she escapes and the gas, that was all really good. And she meets up with Picard.
Yeah.
And then they have to escape with like the Borg technology. And then Icheb stays for no reason.
I didn't get that either.
You mean Hugh?
Hugh.
No, Icheb.
Icheb's dead.
Icheb died in episode 5.
Who's Icheb? Oh, no, sorry, not Icheb.
You mean Hugh?
No, I don't mean Hugh. I mean Ninja
Elnor?
Guy. Elnor, sorry,
yeah.
Elnor.
Oh, yeah, why?
He was like, I'll watch your back.
I don't like that either.
And it's like, hey, we don't need you. You can just walk through. And Hugh also could walk through.
I can
almost
that.
Understand Hugh staying because he's got to like cover for them and be
exactly.
like, I work here. And like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I got to repair the damage I've done to this project I care about. But Elnor is just like, I could stab a few Romulans.
Yeah, he's like, get a few stabs in. Like, you guys go.
Stabby.
I could say that line.
I think there was a Voyager reference with that the thing they went through.
Oh, really?
That was
the Sicalian something or other.
Maybe.
Yeah, it was a slingshot from the episode The Voyager Conspiracy.
I didn't catch it.
The slingshot.
I've heard there is precedence for it. Like
that they went through. There was a whole episode where Seven was like, the Voyager found this slingshot, and then Seven was assimilating a whole bunch of data, and then she started coming up with a lot of crazy conspiracy theories, like some flat earther who watches too much InfoWars.
Oh, I remember that episode.
Right? And then the whole central point was that it was a slingshot that you could go through that could slingshot you, thousands of light years.
What did they say, 40,000?
No, I thought it was 40.
Well, it was improved upon technology. I'm going to pull it up.
I forget what they said in the episode, because I thought it was like thousands.
The point is, we're unnecessarily going to rendezvous when we could have just used it to get on the ship.
They need an excuse to see Will. It's Will's plan.
No. They need an excuse for bonding time between Picard and new Dosh.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, they're replicants of each other, effectively. So you think Picard has this bond with Dosh, but like Dosh is dead.
But now he
needs to reestablish his bond with new Dosh.
Yeah.
And we need at least the first half of the next episode to do that. Where he can be like, I know what's going on and I knew your sister and burka burka burka.
I feel like we're
going
to get a lot of plot in the next.
I have a feeling it's going to be an exposition
in the next episode.
Yeah, some of that, and also
if they kill Hugh, though, my boy Hugh, I'm gonna be really, really mad.
I thought he was dead at the end of episode 6, and I was like, "Fuck, don't,
no!"
Don't
but
die
it looks,
I think he's gonna die.
Oh, no, he was so good at that episode too, though. Like his moments,
he really
was. His moments with Picard, the scene especially when he beamed over, that was well done. Where he like kind of has a flashback to being a Borg, and then Hugh's there, give him a big hug, talking about like how he's seeing all the help he's doing for the ex Borgs and everything, and
telling me that what
the chemistry was really good between them.
I agree, absolutely.
So in the Picard show, you're saying that they should have Picard interact with more classic characters we all liked.
Yeah,
it's a crazy idea.
I never was against it, Dave.
He's gonna be hanging out with Will.
Just my work.
I never was against it.
That's why I think next episode will be good too, because he's gonna hang out. He's gonna hang out with Will
and
he's
Deanna.
But that's also the problem of the show is like it can't like, just. I don't care. Will Riker.
Yeah,
that's true.
You should.
I don't care. Seven of nine. Yeah.
If you're gonna bring these people back, bring them back for more than one.
That's
episode.
The thing. It just seems like a one off. It's like, and Will will have his side quest,
or he's gonna show up at the end of the big battle at the end with the Odyssey or something like that, and the Titan. Yeah, and
I don't understand because when you see him in the preview, he's in like a wood shop, which could just be a holodeck.
He's in the Nexus.
Oh God, it does look like it.
This is where it goes.
I know.
It's all coming full circle to Star Trek Generation.
I need you to come back with me and punch
Malcolm McDowell in the face.
I just need you to punch him real hard, which actually makes more sense because Will Riker is like a big, intimidating, like brawny character.
Yeah.
Makes more sense than 60-year-old Kirk.
I'm going to be real upset if Riker doesn't mount the chair.
Oh,
in
a Riker
typical
sit.
Riker. I want a Riker sit.
Yeah. it would be a good reference.
I was glad to see episode 6 go to where it did. I was like, all right, this is picking up. And then, like, I'm with you. Like, the next episode might be a little bit more dialed back because it's
going
to be a bit.
I'm interested where they're going with the
one
Borg.
Episode and seven.
I am
good.
Interested with the Borg thing too,
like the lore, because it's to me I don't know. And this like jumped out a little bit as like a fucking lore nerd that there's a queen's chamber in the cube. But there was no queen on the cube, or
is there a queen on every cube?
Is this
we never really get answers?
No,
to
we
that.
Don't. But I'm wondering if now there if that's like a plot thread they're going to leave because that's where they were. They were in the queen's chamber.
Interesting,
right? Which has never really been established.
I thought it was for like the queen to be able to jump wherever she needed to.
It was, but the point is like how many queens are there? Is there a queen on every cube? Like
queen of consciousness that gets beat? Is there always a like queen to activate and
Jay,
you
I don't think we're
going
to get any of that. I think it was just so we could have like a convenient excuse to have a magic transporter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to, the queen is, I don't think we care. We're more interested in the fact that Romulans invented the Borg 10,000 years ago.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Or that Romulans were invented by the Borg.
Yeah.
Or something. The Borg are ancient, and that's bad. And now their next form of evolution is the Sochi robot things.
But also, what does that have to do with banning synths being part of a conspiracy?
Because Mars.
Yeah. What does that have to do with
Shut up, Brandon. It's all Romulans.
Romulans hate synths because they created the Borg.
Okay.
That's the whole thing.
Sure.
That's their, like, genocidal.
But why would they fucking cripple their own airlift by...
Just to be dicks.
Because they're
Romulans. Dicks.
They are. I mean, that's...
Wheels within wheels,
they are,
right?
They're dicks.
I mean, they are.
I mean, you thought the Klingons were dicks, who we still haven't seen. Haven't seen a single Klingon. Haven't even talked about
Cardassians.
Cardassians. Or we had a reference to Quark...
I saw Mott too. Did you see the sign for Mott on Free Cloud? Mott's like,
no.
It was like a before a sign. It was Mott's and the.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Uh-huh. I thought I caught a reference to Quark.
I didn't catch.
Maybe
it was there.
I don't know.
I think it was in the 7 of 9 episode, like when they were all disguised. Which I was like, hey, I don't need Picard hamming it up.
Oh, I thought that was fun.
I thought it was like Picard is really. The serious stoic character.
Oh, I have
Jean
a feeling
Luke
that was Picard. It was like I can have fun in this episode. Like I can just
hey,
wacky.
Dune buggy,
because he's
exactly.
He's a
that
terrible
precise.
He's decimating the character. you don't remember.
Yeah,
I remember. You don't remember.
I remember. I saw it with you. We spoiled it for Brandon together.
Yes, we did.
I remember classic Picard. I remember a man who was, he wasn't much of an actor. He was a guy who, you know, was very serious and got flustered sometimes and had to step away from children. And thank you, Mr. Broccoli. And he would just walk away. It was just, Picard is a serious character. Like, he's not like, he's not an actor who's just going to jump into like this silly character to be like, oh, we're doing a, and pimp character.
Pimp Picard was a little weird. I did.
Pimp Rios. I like that. It was.
No, he was like a, Picard was playing that character. Wasn't
No, Picard was the eye patch guy.
No, yeah. But he was like playing.
He
like
was a flamboyant
pimp gangster.
He was playing like a Bond type villain.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was overplaying.
Yeah, I guess that's a better word.
Yes. Yeah. But I thought Rios' thing was good, especially because he had like that drug that activated like halfway through his conversation, and he just like got really high as he was under pressure. I like that. That was cute.
Well, was good because that's Star Trek.
He's a good character. Yeah, I like him.
But the whole thing where we're gonna dress up like as a
pimp, it was fucking wacky. Yes. It was
very, very unusual.
I didn't hate it, but it was wacky.
I didn't like it.
I mean, we could point our finger to like a lot of episodes where they got to dress up wacky, like Armand Bashir. Like, let's talk about.
It was on holodeck.
So
they always dress up to go on the holodeck. You're playing a story.
So, it was an excuse for them to dress up, like the Robin Hood one. Yeah, like the Q one.
Those all take place on a holodeck, except for Q, and he's a magical being.
Q Civil Green War.
Was Picard happy when Q put him in tights?
No, but
he was like, "Q, enough of this! I'm not a silly individual who plays at characters." Oh, but I am. No, it was very Picard. You're right. You're absolutely right. It was very Picard.
I'm not saying it was or wasn't.
No, it was very. It was consistent with the character.
I got a kick out of it, and
that's fine.
Don't take that away from me, Dave.
I'm not taking anything away from you. You can enjoy whatever you want. It was just a poor portrayal of that character.
Fair enough. I thought it was funny.
I enjoyed it too. Yeah,
you can think it's funny all you like. It's just it wasn't Picard, though.
Not a lot of this has been.
I know. It's a bad show when you name it Picard and then Picard's not in it.
It's the continuing adventures of wacky old Picard.
Phil Picard. Hi, I'm Phil Picard. I'm here to goof off and do funny accents.
I don't know. I still think it's getting better as it's going on.
Yeah, I think it's finding its legs.
Yeah, me too.
Episode 6 was not total garbage. There you go.
Fair enough.
That's what I got for you.
That's fair.
I'm excited to see where it goes. It's not, it's when viewed through the Kurtzman lens, it's better than a lot of Discovery was, at least in my opinion, but it mostly is a nostalgia probably, but I don't know. I'm much more invested in this than I was in Discovery.
We're going to watch the Lower Decks, and you're going to be like, you know what? Picard was kind of shit. I really feel like the Lower Decks is where it's at.
Well,
I was really way invested in Picard, and now I'm feeling
the Lower Decks supposed to
that's
be.
That's going
to
be, at least timeline-wise, that's going to be closer to what we're used to and what our old Trek love is, you know?
But my point is they just keep coming out with garbage that we're forced to be like, oh, it's better than the last garbage they put out, I guess.
Well, it shows they're improving.
Oh!
They're getting there.
Right, all right. Moving in the right direction.
They're throwing a shitload of money at the Star Trek franchise.
In 100 years, they'll just do what we've been saying to do and finally just put on a new TNG series about a different ship. And it'll be great. And everyone will love it.
That's never happening.
In 100
never
years, happened. They'll learn their lesson.
Never happening, and you have to accept it, Dave.
It's never
there'll be
happen.
A Star Trek renaissance when they realize that all this shit was stupid.
It's a product of the third, and it's the same thing I said with Discovery, and I maintain it. It's a product of the 13 episode season. You cannot do, you can't do a TNG or
down.
Even a DS9 style of Star Trek.
You're absolutely correct.
In a 13 episode season, or whatever, we're at a 10.
This
episode.
Is a 10
just,
one.
It
so
is
we're
not possible.
Is that just what we're doing now? Like every TV
and
show
every show
is a 10
is doing
episode
it.
Thing.
And I think that's
it's safer.
A big problem.
It's safer financially for them to do.
But that's
it
was like an HBO thing. Like you would have
that's
like HBO
was,
would like come out with a 10 episode thing.
It was
and that
a BBC
was
thing
season.
Too.
Was it?
Is it really?
Yeah, BBC. Like a British style is like a 12 to 13 episode series, and that only goes for however many weeks, 12 weeks.
Well, everything they
and
can
then,
do, we
but
can do better.
They would also do it then, like you would get like a spring series and you know like a fall series and then a spring one. It would be twice a year,
right? Mm-hmm. Instead of 10 episodes once a year, and then we're all on break.
Yeah, I just don't think you can do. It's really hard, and this is a criticism that I think holds true for pretty much any show on TV now. It's extremely hard to do character driven.
Yeah.
And character development
time to breathe.
When you have a 10-episode season and then a break for a year, or with some of these HBO shows, a break for
two years
or a break for 3 years.
Maybe there's too many characters. We need to focus in.
Well, I think the show that does it the best that I've seen modern 10, 13-episode is The Magicians. That is the show
I haven't watched that yet.
I've seen best do character development and like long-term meaningful character arcs that carry throughout seasons. But it's, I feel like it's really, Breaking Bad is up there, I guess, too.
Was that on Netflix, that one of the Magicians?
It's on FX, but it's also on Netflix.
Okay.
But it's really hard.
I'm on season two of The Expanse right now, so I can't.
And even The Expanse doesn't do it very well. And I watched The Expanse in real time, and it was the same problem, where it was like, this is a good show, this is a great premise, I like some of these characters, I like all the characters, actually.
Right.
But like, it was a 10 or 12, and then a 13, like they were short series. Or seasons, so there's so many characters you're trying to keep track of. You can't develop all of them, and it's a shame with The Expanse, I think, because there's a lot of interesting stuff to go into there.
Oh, there is, for sure. Some of it gets a bit silly. Like, there's stuff that they're doing that I'm just like, oh, really? Okay. I know we're in space and everything, but let's cool it. But for the most part, it's fairly it's engaging, and you want to watch the next episode.
Yes.
You're like, oh, what's gonna happen? I mean, Picard is like fine, but I'm not like dying to what happens to him? Oh my god, he went through that portal and where is he? I need to know. I'm just like, alright, I guess we'll find out next week, I guess. I'm fine.
Fair enough.
Like if you were binging it, if you were doing like
I have a feeling this would be better binged than Discovery.
I think you're right.
I don't know, but
I know, because I do feel much more of a separation between the episodes as their own independent thing, where Discovery, everyone just kind of bled into the next. It was always so fast. Next thing.
Well,
next,
that's why
thing,
I kind of disagree with you, because the whole the reason you want to binge a TV show is generally because like you get to the end of the episode and you're like, oh my god, I have to know what happens next. Like, what's going to happen to these characters I care about? And I just don't feel like Picard like he went through the portal. Okay, he sent Seven of Nine back and she shot somebody. Okay, what's going to happen next week? Well, I don't know. I'm not worried about it.
But that's kind of that was the TNG charm, was that you didn't worry about what happened next week, with the exception of a few
but that's
episodes.
Absolutely true, but they're not doing that. This is a story that's continuing episode to episode,
but
and I don't care about the next episode.
Yeah, I do.
I kind of do.
I do.
Okay. I'm not, like, anxious to find out. I'm right now, last night when I had to stop watching The Expanse to go to bed, I was like, fuck, I wish I could watch another episode.
It's Battlestar Syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, I wish I could watch another episode. I want to know what happens. When I got to the end of that episode of Picard, I was like, okay. And they escaped.
Yeah. It was its own self-contained little adventure.
All right. Which will be continued in the next episode.
Yeah. But it's, I don't know. I'm excited for it. I don't know. I guess we're not going to win you over on that one, but
I mean, if it turns out to be good.
Yeah, they got three more episodes to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good luck.
Yeah. That's, I don't think they're going to win you over by it, but I'm so far.
They got a really good finale.
I'm quite satisfied with it. And like,
I don't know. I would say not exceeding expectations,
no,
but definitely enjoying it.
Yeah, it's exceeding. It's the bar was so low.
And maybe that's also part of it.
And I tend to ride where the bar is. So like, if the bar was pretty low after what we've gotten so far, and this is delivering at least a little above bar for me, I'm into it. Do you see Red Letter talking about it?
I haven't watched it.
They just started losing their mind. They started just like, they're like, they don't care about us. You got to watch it. It's so funny.
They don't. Well, they don't care, but they're not wrong. They don't care.
They don't care about the old fans.
They're like the Democratic Party.
Oh, no. Bernie 2020, motherfuckers.
We'll see you fuckers next week. I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jay.
Nobody asked for this.